This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation Podcast with Funny Man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Alright. They know who it is. Y'all know who it is. You know exactly this. If you don't know, it's us.
Well, take it back and let them know.
This is Damian Lemon.
Man, you're supposed to hit him with the yee!
Oh, man, I was trying some other shit, man. This is a yes and world. You got to keep going, man.
That's
we try to keep being progressive. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation. What's going on, man?
You are now in the conversation.
There you go.
Yes, hit that subscribe button. But yeah.
Wait, let him do it.
Okay. Y'all hit it?
There you go.
You tripping. Go ahead, stop lacking. Go on, hit that button. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what's good with you, man?
Man, I'm chilling. I'm in a good mood. I feel like
I see.
Chatting.
You feel like chatting?
Chatting, having a good conversation.
He came in on his old man shit.
Yeah, just having a chat.
I feel like chatting.
Yeah. I walked past this one restaurant just recently called the Chat and Chew. I never been in there, but that shit sounds real.
Somebody said that. I heard somebody say that the other day. That's what it is. I'm just going to Chat and Chew.
Chat and Chew. It's like a real gossipy-ass restaurant.
Yeah, that's where you got to put your dentures in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you're going to have to chew?
You're going to have to chew. I'm going to go over here to the Chat and Chew.
There's no soups like Chat and Chew. Nothing but tough-ass breads. I'm chilling, though, man. I'm in a great space.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know why I said
sound like
that
you
shit.
Sound, you got some money or
nah,
something.
Nah, that's just
you know, something special.
Life is good, man. Okay. Life is good. I'm living affirmation.
Okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
So you're a walking quote.
I'm a walking quote. I'm a walking maxim. You know what I mean? Maxim, a quote. You know, I'm on my Gary Vee or Diddy or any of these
tell
motherfuckers.
Us what's good,
I'm just trying to have.
Why are you feeling this way, Mr. Damian?
I don't know, man. I could have been dead. You know what I mean? And not specifically, but I
just. You the one always tell me why are you worrying about that?
Right, I wasn't. Nah, I'm not. I'm not even. But what I'm saying is, I got a shot at it, so I'm gonna make the most of the day.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, fuck it. Let's have a good ass time. Let's chop it up. I ain't really do a whole lot today. I went to the dentist.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Had a filling put in, so I didn't even know if I was going to be able to talk. And, you know, shout out to my dentist, because he was like, what you want to talk on? So I got a podcast, so he might be listening, but, you know, fuck it.
Why they always,
we ain't pulling no punches.
Why they always want to put your appointment on Tuesday? Because when I got my shit fixed, it was on a Tuesday before the podcast.
No, they had other days. They weren't pushing Tuesday at this
time. Mine was pushing Tuesday.
Well, you said you got a dentist / pimp.
Yeah, but she's great.
I was saying, man, she might be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, she's great. They, you know, they just wanted to get you in.
Motherfucker, all I got is Tuesday. Now, as you with it, as you with it.
I'm with it, daddy.
Uh-huh, exactly. Exactly. And that's spit.
Shit, that's better than swallow.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Shit. How you doing, man? What's going on, Pop?
Man, I feel pretty much the same way as you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm all the way glowed up.
Feel your energy. Yeah, you got it out
man.
There.
It's all good, man. I had a dope shoot this weekend. You know what I'm saying? It was like a pressure type of shoot because we had to, it was a Grammy night joint with Victor Cruz.
Grammy night?
Yeah, so he was getting dressed to go host. No, not host, but to announce the Puerto Rican segment of the Grammys.
Oh, they had a Puerto Rican segment?
Yeah, they had a tribute to Puerto Rico.
I didn't even watch it. I didn't know.
Shout I didn't watch it. Puerto I was Rico working, too. But I know that happened because that's what he was going for.
All right.
So, anyway, he was getting dressed at this spot called Isaiah, which is a luxury men's suit line, which is, you know, glowed up in itself.
Uh-huh.
But so he was getting, they were dressing him for the evening and we were shooting him.
Who's they?
Isaiah.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rachel, who y'all know from, you know, a few weeks ago.
Right.
That was on the cast. She was styling him. She called me about this situation and we made it all happen.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he was getting dressed and basically, he was going to go on the show, but I had to have the video to Isaiah the same night so it could go up same night, the Grammys.
Damn. So what you had to do, and it was all, so what was the turnaround time? What are we talking?
So it was about 4 hours.
Ooh.
4 hours, you know what I'm saying? I think we finished shooting at 6, and then I gave it to him like 10.
Okay, while the Grammys is on.
Yeah.
In time for the Puerto Rico segment?
I doubt it. But, you know, they just wanted to have it while I was still fresh and in the conversation, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we got that done. It came out dope, man, and shit. I mean, I've been doing this for, you know what I'm saying, about 7 years. You know what I'm saying? 7, 8 years or something like that. And, you know, shot a lot of motherfuckers, man. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, you know, the like a celebrity person that we shot, you know, actually took the video and gave me a shout out, you know what I'm saying, on the ground.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
How'd that shit help your follower count?
I don't know if it hit my follower count, but the phone been acting a little different lately.
That's a nice little testimony.
You know what I'm saying? The phone been kind of, you know what I'm saying? The little email, your phone situation been a little different. You know how?
How was the shout out? Let's talk about it.
Oh, I mean, what'd he say?
Yeah, let's hear about that. Let's hear that.
It was pretty. It was a great shout out.
While you're looking for the shout out, let me ask you some questions.
Hold on. All right.
So
go ahead.
I know you're shooting video, so maybe you can't really let audio bleed, but this is a getting dressed for the Grammy situation.
Uh-huh.
Is there any type of playlist energy going on in the background?
Yeah, actually,
what's he listening to?
He had the Jay-Z playlist on Tidal, I think.
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was very New York, very, you know, very Jay, Biggie.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it was cool.
Okay.
It was, you know what I'm saying? It was popping in there.
Because he's from Jersey, right?
Yeah, Paterson, New Jersey.
Right, right, right.
So he says, you know, thank you to the amazing people at Isaiah for not only dressing me for yesterday's Grammys, but creating a vibe that evolved into a moment I'll never forget. And then he put the camera shit at Mr. Muhammad. Your skills with the camera are insane.
Oh, that shit is special.
That's a great shout out, man.
Yeah, it's better than real nigga.
Yeah, it's better than real nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Real nigga on camera.
You know what I'm saying? He was a real nigga.
On camera.
But you know what I'm saying? So that was cool. That, you know, to
wow.
Like I said, I do this a long time, and the best compliment you get in this shit, when they love the work.
Yeah.
Most times, the response is nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it's supposed
to be. It just go. You know what I'm saying? No, there's no, you know what I'm saying? You get no accolades, no all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just, they like it, it worked, bam, it's out of there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If something wrong with it, they're going to let you know. If you hear something, you know what I'm saying, they're going to, you know, you're going to know if something wrong with it.
Right.
They're not going to hold that back. They're going to have to let you have it if something wrong. But in this particular video, I think it's just the energy surrounding the whole shit, the way it all came together. It's just, you know what I'm saying, that everybody gave up a lot of love. And, you know what I'm saying, it's like, it's probably like the first time that that's happened where the client was like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, Vic, you know, gave a shout out. Of course, Rachel, she already know what we do. So, you know what I'm saying, she always show appreciation anyway. So it was dope, man.
Just another buzzer beater, huh?
Not another, but you know what I'm saying? It's a triple overtime, buzzer beating, you know what
triple
I'm saying?
Triple overtime.
Because, yeah, you know, you had the pressure. You know, you had the pressure of delivering it in no time.
You responded to Puerto Rico faster than the president then, huh?
Dude, you hit him with a good straight-up comedy. That was a stand-up bit right there.
that was just an observation.
Nah, so yeah. that was dope, man. We had a great time, man. Shout out to all the people at Isaiah, you know what I'm saying? Sarah Candy, who put us on with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dope look.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Did you watch the Grammys?
Nah, I was doing that shit.
Let me ask you this. So did you have to, like, bunker that? Did you have to find another edit bay, or did you take it back to the home studio?
Nah, see, that's what I was saying. If I took it back to the crib, I would have lost an hour, probably some change,
just from
just transit, and then, you know, getting to the crib, then you got to talk to everybody, you got to speak to your kids, you got to talk to your wife, and then you got to, you know what I'm saying, it's a lot before you can get to it. So
you got to reignite that energy.
Right, so I didn't want to lose the momentum, so basically I set up shop in Isaiah in their VIP lounge, and I got it going, I got most of it laid out,
uh-huh.
and then I got it to a point where I was comfortable. I knew where the footage that I wanted was, and then I jetted to the crib, and then it was easy. Put the music to it, did the colors, and got that shit out. You know what I'm saying? I actually finished it once, and before I sent it, I looked back at it and was like, nah, let me change one, two things. I was kind of I was nervous about it because not only was it just us shooting video, it was a still crew there too within, you know what I'm saying? So you're doing a photo shoot and video within a 3-hour period, which, right. You know what I'm saying, which is some all-day shit in real life. So shout out to Jared Ryder. He was the photographer, and his team, they were dope. You know what I'm saying? I learned a lot from them just by watching them turn that small amount of time and get as much productivity out of it as they did. You know what I'm saying? I don't do stills, but watching how he did that shit, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's always another, you know, sometimes you thinking, oh, yeah, it's only 2.5 hours, 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be able to do this, that, and another. What they did with putting the sets together and, you know what I'm saying, in their productivity lets me know it's always more you can do with the time that you have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just have to think it and plan it. Mm-hmm. Like, they came in, them motherfuckers had, they was doing some shit where they was making the smoke. Mm-hmm. And that shit was in a can. It was, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Most times you're on the set, they got a smoke machine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They had this motherfucking aerosol can. And motherfuckers had smoke. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. Mm. So he did some dope shit. So I was just nervous that I'm like, because I could see the shit that they was getting.
Right.
And of course, it's still, so it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like when the bulbs pop, it's a bigger print and a, you know what I'm saying? Like
dramatic.
It's a more of a crispier look. And right. You could lock in the look without, like for me to lock in that look, I would have to cut off all the lights and then just have certain lights pointed. Right. It's a different light science when it comes to video and stills. So I was just nervous that my shit was going to look fuzzy or, you know what I'm saying, flat, and they shit was going to be popping. So I'm like, oh, shit, man, I hope my shit looking like something. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to the end, I was like, you know what I'm saying, is this the best I got?
Well, you can't really tell from when you're looking at the camera. You can't really tell to what it's on the monitor.
Nah, you know what you think you know what you're getting, but then, you know, it's a lot of variables. Right. So you might have the shot you want, but then the subject is looking off, or, right, you know what I'm saying, somebody walked through the back or something. You know what I'm saying? Any old kind of wild shit happened where you don't have a suitable shot. Mm-hmm. So you don't really know till you get in there and you fucking with it. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, man, I hope my shit ain't corny and shit while they shit looking all fresh. Then, you know, because this is my first time working with this brand. I'm like, man, I need my shit to be fresh.
Nah, Iziana, fuck it with you. Is it Iziana?
It's Isaiah.
So, it reminds me of something. Isaiah. I know something. I can't put my finger on what it reminds me of, but I like it. It's very jazzy.
Yeah, you should probably check them out.
I'm
going
to check it out. I
got to
figure out
show.
How to spell it, but I'm going to check it out.
It's Isaia.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I might have seen it before. Shout out to Isaiah.
You know, it's a Neapolitan Italian shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, so, you know, I was just nervous about making sure my shit was, you know what I'm saying, on the level with everybody else, because right. You got a room full of professionals, you know what right. I'm saying? You got a high-end brand, you got, you know, athlete that's been, you know, covered in Esquire right. And all that shit. Then, you got photographers. I already seen what they was doing.
Right.
So I was like, hey, man, my shit got to make sure. I want to make sure my shit level up.
Have you ever heard of this shit? I think it's called fraud syndrome. You ever heard of some shit like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, you think they're going to find you out?
Yeah.
When I first started, I had never shot before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've worked on TV shows or whatever. I had hired some shooters, but I had never picked up a camera myself.
Imposter syndrome.
And shot anything.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And I was hiring Sean P. Sean P was my go-to guy.
Right.
And he was teaching me the game right. as we was going along.
Right.
But I had never done it.
Right.
And this job came up, this Origins, Estee Lauder,
yeah,
call about doing the web series.
Yeah.
And Sean P was in Africa for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
It's on you.
Hey, so I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm going to just go. I'm going to make it work. I know what it need to look like.
They think I'm one of them.
So I get there, and it was three ladies, two ladies who worked at the brand, and then the producer, right. April Trigg. Shout out to April Trigg.
Yeah.
And they was just sitting behind me the whole time, like, yo, what are you? You know what I'm saying? They looking at the play. They trying to look all in the monitor. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm inside. I'm like, man, I'm trying to figure this shit out too. Right, now y'all right. These motherfuckers need to lay off me right. For a second. So
they trying to see how they could cut a nigga out the budget.
They like, they was trying to make sure that it looked right.
Oh, okay.
And I was too. Mm-hmm. So you know, we got into like a little verbal battle at one point mm-hmm. of, you know what I'm saying?
The looky lose.
Yeah, like, you know, is this right? I'm like, right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, listen, we could do this one of two ways. Uh-oh. We could do this your way, which I have no problem with. You brought me here. You know what I'm saying? We could do it my way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what we dealing with, and I know, you know what I'm saying? I know what I'm doing is what I'm saying out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
What you thinking?
Right. Huh?
What you feeling?
What I'm thinking is, shit, man. At this point, I'm just engaged in getting them up off of me. I need y'all to get the fuck up off me.
Right.
I know what I'm doing.
Let me get some space.
Per se.
Yeah, please. Please.
So, they, you know, we came to a great, you know what I'm saying, understanding that, right. You know, that, all right, we'll let you do what you do. And if they had something they wanted to say, I'll let them say it.
Right.
And so we figured it out. Boom, we got through it. And the shit came out great. Actually delivered a full product and was like, yo, shit, I could deliver a full product. That gave me a whole lot more confidence. But yeah, for a long time, mm-hmm. if each time you get into a new situation, you like, damn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You be over there trying to figure it out. Everybody looking at you like you already know.
Shit.
Yeah. What I do to be, when I first started, what I did to defeat that, and it still carries on now, mm-hmm. just because that's my practice. I just shot a lot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shoot through it.
I just shot every fucking thing. I waste no shots. All shooting the whole time. And when I started the magazine, what I learned about photography was I started paying photographers to do photography and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get the pictures back. You know, you thinking, shit, I didn't pay this man a lot of money. These pictures finna be dope. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you get them, and I'm thinking every picture's supposed to be like fire. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know, like you the professional photographer. When right. I see this, you know what I'm saying?
Better look like the best.
Yeah, this shit gonna look like real magazine shit.
It better look like a return on my investment.
Exactly. So when I got the first set of pictures, you know, it's like hundreds of pictures, and I'm right. like, man, this is whack. That, hold up, what the fuck?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm almost getting mad. Like, right. Hold up, man, this is what this motherfucker gave me.
Mm-hmm.
But then, once you go through all of them and then you start sorting them out, you realize you got six great ones.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you got six good ones, and then you got maybe two, three great ones.
Right.
And then you're like, oh.
Which is a lot on the batch, I guess. That's a good
exactly.
yield,
you,
huh?
You only going to use three. Right. You know what I'm saying? So you got, you. So it's like, damn, that's what it is. It's like, it's not having every shot right.
Right.
It's making sure you get the shot.
Well, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that on a whole nother level, but I want to stop you and ask you a quick question because I know you said you don't do stills.
Mm-hmm.
But you work in that realm, at least the right. realm of the visual, right?
Right.
So is that like, I won't say poor form, but do most photographers kind of do an edit prior to giving you a whole dump of shit? Or do you want that whole dump?
I want
dump?
The whole dump.
You do want the whole dump, so you
I
can go
the
through
dump.
The whole shit.
A lot of photographers don't like to give you the whole dump. Even when you ask for it, they still don't. You know what I'm saying?
Why? Because they figure you're judging their eye?
Yeah, they think you're judging them.
It's like all the good and the bad jokes. I want to write, see every joke you wrote.
Right, because sometimes you want something odd, or sometimes a odd picture will have something interesting in it that you could just use that part. Like, so for me, I want all of them so I could, you know what I'm saying, I can make the determination
right.
of what I'm using, and I can have more latitude on what I can use.
Mm-hmm.
But the photographer don't want you judging them. Because for the very same reason I just said, like, damn, this shit is fucked up.
The photographer's not there when you're doing that, though.
Nah, okay, but they don't want you. They know the process. Because, you know, some clients will look at the first few joints and call you. Like, what is going on? What is this? Right. Like, everybody ain't going to just objectively sit there and go through a bunch of bad shit.
Yeah, I got you.
So you don't know what kind of client you got, so you have to... You had to make yourself comfortable.
Right.
It's like I wouldn't want to give the client my whole raw footage because I don't, you know what I'm saying? Half that shit, it's, you know, it's a lot of throwaways. It's a lot of cricket shots. It's a lot of shit you do in your edit that, you know, made the one shot that was kind of off look good, you know? Mm-hmm. So you want to show your best work. And that's taking it back to the original story. That's what I wanted to do. So I took back. I was about to send the link, then I say, nah, let me do this one quick change. And I made the quick change and then sent it. And it turned out good, man. You know, they was happy, so it made me happy.
All right. That's what's up. The edit pressure. You rose to the occasion. Speaking of edit, I see that Ryan Coogler and Ava DuVernay.
Director of Black Panther.
Black Panther, which is already... I guess black influences have already been watching it. I've been seeing.
Yeah, it was the premiere was last night.
Okay, yeah. See, that's the heat to pop up on the IG. shout out to Daytwan. I said he saw it, but he wasn't ready to rate it. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? Everybody else gave it all fire emojis.
Maybe. Maybe they told him to restrain, or maybe he tried to. Maybe he wanted to fuck up the movement.
Well, he an editor, so he might have to write it for. Might have to write an official.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Everybody else wasn't editors. They was just, you know, excited.
The excitement is dope. I feel like the movie's the byproduct. The excitement, I see all these black folks excited like, this shit is amazing. Again, I'm still like, it is what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm going to check it out. But Ryan Coogler and Ava DuVernay were basically across the hall from each other 8 months. She was editing Wrinkle in Time. He was editing Black Panther. They was kicking it, walking around the lot, chopping it up, the whole shit.
Man, this is a black renaissance right now, man. We are living in a renaissance era. What a time to be alive. Pay attention, folks, because this is a special era. It don't happen like this every week.
Yeah, it was dope. Speaking of, we're going to stay on the film things, especially now that you guys have squashed your beef. Spike Lee's interview with DC Samiro, that shit is really good, man. Uh-huh. You forget how, I mean, I don't, but it's just to, you know, just to remember how iconic and impactful.
It's on the show or on the podcast?
No, it's on the show.
Okay.
But it's online. But, yeah, just how fucking iconic and impactful he is, and he's breaking down. You know, they were like, yo, which one of your movies you think was the most influential or whatever? He's like, you got time? You know, being halfway funny, but then he going through his shit, and his stats is lining up. Like, this shit talk is backed up with a nine, and good boom, bow, and the this, and then this changed that, and these people say this is the reason that this happened, and this, and it's like, damn. And it was like, all right, fam. You know, shout out to him. I'm glad that y'all... This shit had me conflicted, because, you know, that's a motherfucking legend, and I'm glad that y'all got to put your differences to the side.
Yeah, he was going to always be a legend, no matter how the fuck I felt.
I could dig it.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I was just in my little old head, you know me.
Nah, man. Oh, shit, man. What's going on? So what did you think of these Grammys?
Like I said, I didn't see the Grammys.
I didn't either.
But, you know, I see Jay got shut the fuck out.
Yeah.
Oh, winning ass Jay, you know what I'm saying? Couldn't pull it off this time. Well, they didn't let him pull it off this time.
Hilarious.
You know? How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
I feel like Jay felt about it. You know
how
what I'm saying?
How Jay felt about it? I didn't know. Did he say something?
Nah, but he told y'all beforehand with how he felt. You know what I'm saying? In the OJ song, you know what I mean? It's like, no matter what you do, how high you go, or,
still,
you know what
nigga.
I'm saying, no matter your stats, you know what I'm saying? Here's what they think about you.
See, this is the thing. I'm just thinking, hopefully this little conspiracy theory take root. This is my little hot take. I think now that Lemonade...
Well, you got to say it kind of like Stephen A. Smith then.
Okay, Ali, this is how I'm feeling. Jigga man. Nah, this is what I'm thinking. I was just thinking about this shit on my way here. Lemonade got kind of shut out, but got shafted. mm-hmm. you know, by Adele last year. 444 got shafted by Bruno this year. Mm-hmm. Are the two of them going to finally, I know they was doing this duo album initially, are they going to do the We Mad album? We the Upset Fuck These Motherfuckers album? Because that could be, I don't think we've ever seen angry Jay-Z and angry Beyonce
together
on a record together. Fuck Watch the Throne, nigga. Watch your ass. That shit could be ill. I want that to get into the world, man. Let's get an angry Jay and Beyonce retaliation album. Let that get in the world, man.
It was funny because, you know, you see them, they were, you know, at the show when they had Blue with them.
Yeah.
And in the pictures, you know, like, you know, when you go to these shows, you're there for a long ass time.
Right.
Once you're on the floor, there's no food down there and shit. So they had Blue, and I guess Beyonce had some snacks, you know, for Blue.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the pictures, you got the little juice box and the fruit snacks and shit. You know what I'm saying? Which is like some real regular ass. That's, you know what I'm saying? Shit my daughter going to school with. You know what I mean?
From any path walk.
Like, that's the shit you keep in your backpack when you're on the train and you know what I'm saying? Your kid get hungry and you be like, you know, all right, you know, here, take some of these fruit snacks.
Rest in peace, Pathmark. Keep going.
What happened to Pathmark?
I think it's all the way done. It's a wrap. But I just felt like I had to acknowledge the fact that the path mark is done, so that reference don't really hit no more. So there's people, you know, this is the internet. There's people like, wait a minute, fam. As a matter of fact, when I seen Chris Rock at the Garden, it was one motherfucker sitting next to me and my lady. He was in the last seat. He was by himself. Mm-hmm. And Chris Rock said something about path mark, and homie said, shit, he done fucked up. Pat Mark out of business. This nigga, he got to get out there. The critique was like, boom, boom. Like, I'm trying to tell you.
I don't think it's all the way out of business. I think they closed some stores in Brooklyn, I know.
All right.
But I think it might be some still in other cities and in Queens and shit.
If you near Pathmark, take a photo and send it to us. Hashtag in the conversation, Pathmark still here. I think Pathmark's over. Hashtag Pathmark still here, but also hashtag in the conversation. Keep going. So you were saying.
Oh, that, I was just saying. Regular ass. They was having like regular ass, you know, and then, you know, the people was taking, I guess the photographer was taking pictures. You could see B cutting her eyes out. I'm like, God damn, can my daughter eat? But then there's a picture where Jay, you know what I'm saying? He's looking at Blue and it looked like he chewing, which is a classic black father move.
Right.
Because you in there, all these eyes, you know what I'm saying? You ain't eating. Blue got the snacks, you know what I'm saying? B unpacked the shits wherever she packed them and snuck them on in with like in a movie purse.
Oh, these is packed from the crib snacks.
Yeah, these is from the crib. Oh, these is.
I thought this was craft services, you know, from the Grammy, the Naris.
You know, unless they had a green room and they shit. But this it looked like packed shit from the crib, even though you were right. It's probably the green room and they probably had that on the rider.
Uh-huh.
But as a outside spectator, that's some shit that looked like you just brought it from the crib, snuck it in the movies, and then what made it look more like that is, like I said, it looked like Jay was eating some of the fruit snacks because he looked like he was chewing and he was looking at Blue. So like that's a classic black ass father moment.
Right.
Like the mama done took care of the sneak, you know what I'm saying? Make sure the kid got something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The kid got it. You know the kid is hungry. You know Blue hungry and shit. She been sitting here dead.
Yeah.
Right. And then the daddy like, shit, I'm hungry too. Okay. Uh-huh. Hey, let me get one of them.
You don't need all that.
You didn't say please, daddy. Let's see. I thought that I could relate.
Especially when niggas stop winning.
Oh yeah, by the time the third win, you like, they done got me up in this motherfucker, sitting in this motherfucker, and got me all on the billboards and shit, and don't give me nothing.
It's funny that you said classic black father's moment, because I see my man New Face, he tweeted something else, or Instagrammed something else, like I guess from what it looked like to him, because it's a lot of inference, a lot of people, you know, he's a black father as well. He said he saw the classic move of the seat switch, because it looked like something had popped off between Beyonce and Blue, and then Jay had to just
sit in the middle
between the two of them just to keep the peace. And he was like, he caught that shit. So it's funny. It's funny what Jay and B are triggering to the black familial unit.
Yeah, because it's like, One, you don't really see celebrities. You know, you don't really see them on TV like that in such a big event. Parenting, you know what I mean? Even if their kid might do the red carpet and shit, that's probably like as much as you're gonna see. But that's like some real. When you got to pull out the snacks. That's real parent. Like Beyonce sitting there with her shades on and all glammed up, but she still got to go in there, you know, get the snacks.
Here you go.
Because at any given moment, a hungry kid going to fuck you up. They going to fuck your whole night up.
I don't give a fuck where we at.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the last thing they need is Blue throwing a tantrum in the Grammys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they must have unwavering faith in that kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Not even faith. It's faith and there's a playbook. There's a whole lot of shit that is said in that ride over.
Nah, the kid, at that age, they don't give a fuck about what was said in that ride over.
Shit.
They don't know consequences. What you gonna do?
You don't think that kid, you don't think Blue no consequences? You don't
she
think
knows. She
car to home?
Yes, but you know what I'm saying? It's different when once a kid has hit the threshold of I'm hungry,
right,
and I'm gonna throw this tantrum,
right.
Consequences at what 3-4 years old? Consequences don't mean a motherfucking thing.
But I feel like in that home, I feel like that's why Sir and Rumi ain't really in the streets yet because they haven't gone through the media training. They do media training at like 11 months.
I probably
high as a motherfucker.
You probably right, but at 3-4 years old.
Post elevator, everybody gets briefed before we do anything public.
That's what people without kids like to say.
I mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like you can make a plan. And you could, you know what I mean?
That shit is bullshit.
You could have rules and they could understand them, but it's
kids
a certain point
a
where that shit goes all out the window and you gotta snap into get your ass over.
You know what I'm saying? I dig it. I defer to
it. Well, you start talking through your teeth and shit in public.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Speaking of Jay-Z in particular, and it was on Twitter. There was like a Twitter moment going on where someone asked, would you rather someone gave you $50,000 or would you rather have dinner with Jay-Z? And there's a bunch of people that were saying, you know what? I'm going to take that dinner. And there's a bunch of people saying, give me that $50K.
Right.
So I'm asking you, and I'm going to ask my man over here, young Matthew, because we haven't heard from him yet, what would you pick? Go ahead, Ali.
I mean, myself personally. I feel like I feel like I could get the J for free, so I'll take the 50 and take my chances, you know what I'm saying, showing up at the restaurants he show up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, showing up at the fancy spots. But yeah, I'll take the 50.
Take that 50.
Take the 50 and then, you know what I'm saying? For me, you know what I'm saying? Contacting people is like a, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a natural resource.
Right. You feel like you can have dinner with them already.
Why I'm going to buy diamonds on my own ground, you know? I can mine my own diamonds.
All
you
right.
know, that's how I feel about it.
Matt, you better have some profound shit to say, because after the diamonds adage, it's hard to follow. Go ahead.
I thought it was going to be done, and then he just has to bring on the wisdom.
Right.
I mean, I'm taking the 50K, too.
Why?
He don't want to meet Jay-Z.
I mean, it would be cool to meet Jay-Z. He's not top of my list, but even the number one celebrity on my list, it's still going to be, okay, 50K is going to affect my life for a good amount of time.
Who's the number one celebrity on your list?
I don't know. Give me Ira Glass or something. Nerd out.
Ira Glass? All right. That's a fair
enough. I'm sitting here behind the board, okay?
Ira Glass. Let me find out. NPR.
Who's
NPR, Ira Glass. Ira Glass. This American Life? Is that he on This American Life?
He's This American Life.
Not trying to come up in the podcast.
Yeah, he's trying to meet the OGs.
That's what's up. He thinking about his career. That's a good move, man.
Yeah.
Take the 50 and go, you know what I'm saying, have your dinner every night at the restaurant where Ira
be at.
You know what I'm saying?
But even in that case, if I'm meeting someone who trying to help my career, like if I earn my way there, they're going to listen to me anyways. If they're just forced to have a dinner with me, it's not going to really get me far. They're just going to be, like they're just going to show up and it's going to be obligatory. I want to have a real conversation. I want to earn it.
Want to earn that combo.
Word.
Shit, if you pass the $50,000, you definitely got some shit to talk about with
exactly.
this mama.
You know.
I could not understand that. $50,000, I'd have to take that $50,000. I can't really think of too many people I'm going to pass up for $50,000.
Now, let me ask you this.
What, you going to say Oprah?
Nah, fuck that. Because you just got to switch it around a little bit.
Go ahead.
Who would you pay $50,000 to meet?
I don't think I'd pay $50,000 to meet anybody.
You sure?
What's the meeting going to, what's that intent?
See, here's the deal.
I hear you, but no, I'm talking about 2018. We use a 2018 vision. Who would I pay $50,000?
20, 10, 15.
I'm talking about today, present day. Who present would I pay $50,000 to sit down and have a dinner with? Nah, it's nobody.
See, here's the thing.
Like, go ahead.
Like, sometimes you're in a situation where you got some deals you want to get done.
Right.
Right? That's worth more than $50,000. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the number is where your deals is landing.
I don't ever put that much pressure on one conversation.
No, it's not one. So you got these deals that you need to get done.
Right.
And it's big money deals. And a lot of times you have these lawyers, right? Who you're a lawyer, you know what I'm saying? Always got the plug. Good lawyers. They always know where the fucking bag at and where the conversation at. And sometimes what happens is you end up paying your lawyer mm-hmm. to be your lawyer. Mm-hmm. But you also paying them to get these meetings, to connect these meetings. And while it's not a straight up, I'm going to give you 15, I'm going to give you 5, I'm going to give you 20 to have this meeting, it is an investment in the deal you're trying to get done and who you're paying to get that deal done. And, you know, it's other scenarios where that happened. I'm trying to think of some more specific ones, but it's times you pay.
So who would you pay $50,000 to have dinner with?
Depends on the deal. If it's a head of a studio, somebody who could say yes to a particular project that I'm trying to get done as far as maybe a show, content, a movie, whatever, then and I know the way that I'm coming in is putting me at the top of the food chain, or at least in the top of the conversation, then I would pay it to meet those heads or whoever got those deals, those money deals, that's worth it. That $50,000 is worth it. You know?
Matt itching to get on the mic. Go ahead, Matt. I were talking about I'm not sitting down with you unless you got 50 for me. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, of course, if you're actually going to make more money off of it by paying the $50,000, you're going to do it. I was thinking more.
Hopefully,
if you have a chance of making $100,000 at the cost of that $50,000, of course you're gonna do it. But I mean, who would you actually pay the $50,000 just to have the experience with? Like, I thought that was more what the question was.
I mean, but that's still steep. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
So like, I'm talking.
That's why I said 2018.
So if you're a young cat, you hit your special, you're getting it. You know what I'm saying? You got some money. It ain't much of a problem. And you want to make that money grow. And you're interested in making that money grow. And you had an opportunity to sit with Warren Buffett.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who can help you. And he has a gala every year. And you know what I'm saying? He has seats at his table. And the seat at the table costs $50,000.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're in a room full of money, but you at Warren Buffett's table, and everybody at his table gets his ear at some point in the night. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're on the rise. You're trying to make the most of your money and shit. Right. Are you going to that gala?
Is the table cost tax deductible?
Of course it is.
Oh, well, shit. If it's tax deductible, then that's a whole different story. But hold on. Why they get a kickback? Now that's different. But I understand the vision and all of that. But to your point, Matt, the whole paying just feels so explicit to me. It's like it feels so transactional. But back to your point where you were like, I'd rather get that meeting off the merit of what I do. I feel like the meeting is going to be a little bit more responsive. I feel like there's going to be a little bit more. Like some respect, like there's a little bit more engagement rather than a brokered situation. Not to say that a brokered situation couldn't lead to something, but I'm just saying in my own experience in life, and I've seen some brokered situations, mostly meet and greets, not Warren Buffett dinners, but it's a different thing. It's one is a gig, and then one is a want. That's why I'm looking at it.
Well, if you're paying $50,000 to meet with Warren Buffett, that's networking. That's going to be, okay, you have the money. The plan is you're going to make more money, but you need to build the relationships. If it's to build a relationship for business, that's still just an investment, and then it's worth it, I guess, if you have that money to throw around.
Right. That's why I said 2018, that we got to be, let's be honest with where we are in life. I mean, you got the money, but that's a fucking gamble. That's a fucking gamble.
That's all this shit.
It's a lot of pressure to put on one encounter.
But it's not one encounter. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you know
So what if Warren say, yo, it was good chopping it up with you. You ever want to fuck with me again, get yourself another $50,000. Warren Buffett cheap as shit, first of all. You know,
I understand.
Depending on the stock, he gets 40 cents. Like, there's a thing with Warren Buffett where every day he buys the same shit from McDonald's. He buys two different things from McDonald's. If the market is up, he'll spring for the 40 cent more extra shit. If it's down, he punishes himself by doing this shit. So my thing is, and I see how Warren make his money. He's incremental as fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's that much of a bull to where it's going to be a seismic change.
You're the association with Warren Buffett.
I hear what you
whoever saying. The fuck you is a seismic change in your motherfucking cachet, and motherfuckers want to talk to you. Listen,
go ahead.
I'm associated with an Oscar nominated film.
Right.
I'm not the director. I'm right. not the producer. But the association alone right. has yielded, you know what I'm saying, results that you can't buy. You know what I'm saying? It's people that talk to you.
That's the point.
But listen, if you bought it that way, if you however it come about, sometimes you buy your way into a scenario. Like I said, I pay a lawyer more than I would pay another lawyer that's at a bigger firm, because when he call and he make the connect for you, that shit open up and you come in at a whole different place. You're not coming in on a cold call. You're coming in on something warm with a motherfucker that they already have relationships with. And that's really what you're paying for. You're paying for the person's relationship. When motherfuckers pay me to do shit, it's based off of a certain amount of experience and association that I already have. You know, so sometimes you are going to invest and being associated with the thing that could take you to the next place.
I'm not saying, I totally understand that logic. I'm just saying $50,000 is a bit steep for anyone.
So
at this point in 2018, that's what I'm just saying.
I've personally been doing a lot of networking lately, and that's basically what you're talking about. That's just networking at a much higher level. It's in life, it really is true that it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
So
I mean, yeah, but I just, again, my thing is, networking where you're doing a little bit of sweat equity, where you in them streets and you in them rooms, and you, because when you really out there making it happen and try to establish yourself, you'll meet the people you intended to meet, and then you'll also meet other people along the way just because you was in these rooms, right? Now, if you getting paid and you doing the express route,
That's not necessarily an express route. That's just a route.
It's an expedited route.
It's not expedited. It's expensive. It's just different level of people that you have to that you're gonna invest. And it's nobody saying you. That's the internet supposition. $50,000 or Jay-Z. We're talking about what are we talking about now? Is nobody saying meet with me? It's gonna cost. You know what I'm saying? Sign up at Eventbrite and come meet with me.
That's what it said. That's what we just said.
Like that's the supposition. In real life, it don't really happen like that. In real life, you invest in certain things to get doors to open.
Well, see, that's different. That's not as explicit as paying $50,000 for one meeting.
Right, but
investing $50,000 in your movement, that's different. That's way more diversified.
But you might put that investment in one person. And you saying that
I'm talking about a dinner. One dinner.
All right, but that's a supposition.
No, that's what you hit me with. You said, who would you pay $50,000 to meet with? And I said, nobody.
Right.
Not in 2018. Not in the calendar year of 2018. Maybe 2020. I might wrap around and look at it. I mean, there's a couple.
Do you have a big idea?
I got a few big ideas. Arsenal? I got some big
like
ideas.
Like a big idea, like the big one you got.
I feel like all my ideas they sizable.
Now, yeah. Now you're going around the country. You're doing your shows. Right. You have your big idea that right. you feel like could take you whoop whoop. Right. You know what I'm saying? You got it fleshed out. It's ready to go. Right. Mm. You need a couple of more steps to make it happen.
Right.
Now, there is somebody that can make that shit happen. That can say yes or no directly to you to make that or not make that.
Yeah, I get. I mean, I see your point. I see the vision. I understand what you're saying. Me, I'm looking at it in a way where shit, some big ideas here, right? I'd mm-hmm. rather take $50,000 and invest it in my own big idea that would hopefully create a net big enough to invite certain people that maybe would cost a $50,000 meeting. I'd rather have something tangible that was invested in me rather than a one-off meeting that could go either way. That's just a fucking volatile-ass stock of a meeting. Because I'd be shitty if I leave that. Because, now the thing is, you got to realize, and that's why I said 2018, you got to know where you're at. Because you got to also realize, you got to take it to account. Your idea might be bigger than a motherfucker, mm-hmm. right? Warren or whoever, head honcho, gatekeeper, shot caller, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Dream, not shatterer, but dream erupter. He blow the shit up for you, she do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Green light. They might have irritable bowel syndrome that evening. They might have a toothache that evening. Now listen, they might be fucked up. They might be in the bed, or they might not like, y'all might talk about some other shit in this meeting and turn them completely off, or they, you know what? I liked what you said, that was cool, but something about how you present to me, it doesn't speak to my spirit. So I'ma have to pass on any business endeavors. I hope you got another 50K.
And that's one way. That's one way. That's one way to look at shit. That's one way to look at all your shit. You right. know what I'm saying? But as an entrepreneur, like I say, I never had to pay 50 grand. But I'm saying it's grands that you had to spend to make certain moves. Sometimes you had to put yourself in position even, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you put yourself in a city just to meet with some motherfuckers hoping that you get some work and, you know what I'm saying, hoping that your deals go through and it could be
City way bigger than one motherfucker.
But okay, but I'm just saying, let's take the 50 off the table. Cause again, like you keep stressing, 2018, you know what I'm saying, we not in a position to drop 50 on nobody. All right? But five. You know what I mean? Yeah. Five.
Right.
Five, put yourself in position. Uh-huh. That's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Right. When you got kids and, you know what I'm saying, shit like that, five is a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes it take five just to put yourself on a plane, uh-huh. put yourself in the city, to move around, to shake hands, not knowing if anybody gonna fucking bite on anything you selling.
Right.
But
right.
As an entrepreneur, as somebody who does what I do, I don't feel like I would go into any room mm-hmm. and not come out with nothing. Like I might not come out with a deal that day, mm-hmm. but the conversation that we had and the relationship that you start just by being in the room is gonna be worth the money that I spent to do it.
No, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? So if I take that five at this level, the next level is going to be 50 or it's going to be 100. It's going to be 500 just to make the move you got to make. So I'm not turning my nose up saying I wouldn't do a certain thing because sometimes it's an admission. It's a price of admission to the shit you're trying to play. Mm-hmm. And if everybody had that price, everybody be playing at that level. So what I'm trying to do is get my fare up. So if I do have to play at that level, that shit, I can.
I hear that. Right. You know, I feel I'm on the mat side of things. I'm trying to work my way in. I want to get it off the.
I mean, you're not gonna just not work. You work every day anyway.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, I'd rather not pay to play. I'd invest. It's different. There's a difference to me.
Like we took that off the table. We took the explicit, we're selling tickets.
Okay, bad.
We're not selling tickets to the meeting.
All right.
You're just taking a lump sum of money.
About that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're just taking a lump sum of money.
It's however you want to, you know, gamble on yourself. I'm with that. I'm all about that.
But sometimes that is buying that $10,000 seat at the table in a room that you don't know if you're going to come out of money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You do have to recognize that it's a gamble. That's all I'm saying. You do have to recognize it's a gamble. And if you're fine with that, then that's cool. I'd rather gamble on me.
That shit is all this shit is a gamble.
Right, and I'd rather gamble on me than give a motherfucker $50,000 and then 45 minutes later, I'm in an Uber pool upset at my new fucking station in life.
But if $50,000 will get you into that conversation, it's all about being in the right conversation.
Maybe.
And once you had that conversation, you're going to be able to call any fucking body you want. It's like this, man. Like, we're going to take the pay off the table.
Right.
Once I made a call that I felt was big and over my head, and I made the call happen, and I had the conversation, and it went well. I might not have got the business or whatever, but it went well.
Right.
I felt like I could call any fucking body. Right now, to this day, I feel like I could call, if I got the right shit to sell, I could call anybody on the face of this earth. That's how I feel, personally.
Okay. All
right. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't have the right shit to sell for everybody.
Okay.
But when I do, I don't feel like it's nobody that's untouchable.
I can
as far as that is concerned. So once you go meet with Warren Buffett, it's just like LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
When LeBron said, "I want to be a billionaire," right? And everybody's like, "Ha ha ha!" He was like, "I want to be the first athlete billionaire."
Mm-hmm.
And then they like, "Yeah, you know, it was almost a joke." Then he hired his friends,
right?
And they're like, "You and your friends are gonna fail." And then him and his friends went and met with Warren Buffett.
Right.
I don't know what it took for them to get that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it took for Warren Buffett to sit down and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to sit down with this black kid from Akron and his friends." You know what I'm saying?
I would imagine the fact that he was LeBron James and he'd been to shit since he was 14.
No, he was. You know what I'm saying? Warren Buffett don't know what he'd been since he was 14. It was his first year in the league.
You don't think Warren Buffett knows who LeBron James is?
I'm not saying that you're taking it off the point. But that don't mean he's sitting down with everybody that's a superstar sensation.
No, I'm just saying.
Somebody made the call and say, "You know what, Warren, you might want to sit with the young buck."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if I'm not lying, I think it was the lawyer that they were working with.
Okay.
Either the lawyer or the financial advisor that they were working with made the call and said, "Warren Buffett, you might want to meet with these young boys. They own something."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They pay that man something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That man made that call because he already making money with them. And it's probably way more than $50,000.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that man made that call
right.
to Warren Buffett, and Warren Buffett sat with them.
Right.
And guess what? After they sat with Warren Buffett and he said, "Them niggas is cool,"
mm-hmm.
everybody started taking them niggas seriously as far as
mm-hmm.
that dream of hitting that billionaire status, because the association in itself, the meeting itself, yielded. I don't know if the man told him anything. He could have just said, "Hey, what's up? Let's go to McDonald's."
He gave him the thumbs up. He put him in the world. I dig that. What I'm saying is that transaction wasn't that cut and dry. There was a lot more to that. Well, let me finish. There was a lot more to that. The fact that, like you said, if the lawyer made the meeting happen, that's part of the lawyer's responsibility as LeBron's lawyer. There's a lot of shit that you got to do based on this retainer that I give you. So it's not a $50,000 thing.
It's not connecting you with Warren Buffett. That's not in the fucking shit, but I can't do that.
It's whatever you negotiate. It's however that person sells himself. It's whatever. Nobody knows what the explicit shit a lawyer does.
Right.
Like you just said, a lawyer does that.
Right.
So if a lawyer's coming to LeBron.
But every lawyer is not going to say, "Because you pay me to do these contracts for you on this whatever, I'm going to hook you up with everybody." That's not how every lawyer works.
I'm not saying every lawyer, but I'm saying probably this lawyer here was like, "Yo, you trying to be a billionaire? You know, I'm cool with Warren Buffett. If you fuck with me, he's one of the people in my Rolodex.
Exactly.
I'm sure I can get you access to this guy amongst other people."
Exactly. And I'm going to pay you that fee that you're talking about.
But it wasn't the Warren Buffett fee. It's the, "This is what you get if you fuck
it
with
me." It could have been the Warren Buffett fee. Like you said, we don't know.
We don't know.
If you want to be a billionaire and a motherfucker say, "Hey, I got Warren Buffett on speed dial," And then you're like, okay, how much your services? That's going to be $100K a month. You like, you got it. You might pay it.
You might.
And it might. You got all the other services, but you really want to meet with Warren Buffett. And again, at the beginning of this, we took that off the table.
Okay.
But there's always an entry fee. And it's like you may not.
Yeah, it could be an entry fee, or it could be hard work, or it could be leveraging. That's my point.
Everybody, like even LeBron, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people that work really, really hard that don't get in the doors, that don't have the conversation.
I hear that, but my point. This is what I feel. This is just how I feel. I feel you could pay to meet just about anybody,
but you we took can't that off
pay,
the table.
No, no. But my point is, you can't pay just about anybody to want to meet with you. Nigga might meet with you because that quote was cool, and I'm going to give you the whatever, whatever. I'm going to hit you with some generic maxims and shit. Are you trying to do that? It's what you need to do, and I'm trying to
But see.
And I'm not tweeting nothing.
In the world of making moves, man. In the world of making moves. When you're making moves with somebody that can make that call, one, it's already pre-vetted because that Warren Buffett know that if this motherfucker called by me,
it's about
this, you know what I'm saying? That's my motherfucker. No, everybody can't make every call. Everybody can't. It's like I said, you can make any call if you have the right shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For that person.
Right.
Everybody not going to have the right shit for Warren Buffett or, you know what I'm saying? But Matt might have the right shit for Ira Glass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He might, but that's part of it. He might. There's also the side of he might not.
But you that's life. That's business.
But that's my point.
But the point is that you can't win if you don't try.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not paying for an explicit meeting. I'll invest all that shit in myself, or I'll invest it in some infrastructure. But for me to be like, yo, I'm going to do this for that.
But we took that off the table. Would you pay the nigga? Would you put the nigga on retainer that could get you to meet?
Yeah, of course. I owe you everybody.
And that nigga might want 10 grand a month.
Yeah, if it makes sense.
And it might take 2 years to get the meeting.
If it makes sense with my vision and my budget.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
There you go.
That's the whole point.
Let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this. Assad, DJ Khaled's son.
Uh-huh.
Got 50,000 to have dinner with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really want to speak to Assad, but
I would want to speak to Assad. He's a happy motherfucker, and I know he's gonna be somebody in life. Come on, Assad. Come on, chill with your uncle Ali.
I'm sure. Mr. Muhammad, we got Assad that shit'll get tired after you get the few hundred thousand.
But again, dog, it depends on what your business is and how you going about your business, man. There's people you meet with that you don't want to meet with sometimes.
Right.
It's clients you take that you don't want to take all the time. They got the money, but they might be a pain in the ass to work with. And sometimes you say, you know what, I'm going to take this money until some point you be like, man, this money ain't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's the right shit for the right person, man. Mm-hmm. And in real life, it's rarely explicit.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to pay for this meeting, but you do pay to get in the right rooms.
Right.
You do pay to go to Russell Simmons Art for Life and you this particular gala and this particular gala.
Right.
Them shits cost money.
Right.
You know,
but it's also sold with a little bit more too, because it's like it's sold with you will get the opportunity to be in the room with these people. It's pending nothing, but your contribution will go to help Art for Life.
You think that fucking matter? You want to be in the room with the movers and the shakers.
Of course you want to be in the room with the movers and shakers, but it's so much easier to justify to your fucking accountant. You say, listen, I was trying to help some little kids.
Yeah, but that's one of the ways that it happens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You buy the $15,000 table in the Hamptons and shit. You go there, you have a good time, you drink.
But those are blocks that you build it because, again, like I said, it's not just about who that one person in the room. It's about everybody in that room.
But
it's about now you investing in your life, your movement. You invest.
But for you, it might be that one motherfucker you trying to get at.
Right, I hear
you. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're in business, it's specific shit that you want and specific shit you need. And most times when you're in a room, you don't need to know everybody in that room.
I'll say
this. It's specific people in that room that you need to get in and get out with.
I'll say this. Look, if there's somebody out there that you want to meet with and there's a way that you can meet with them for some money and you could afford that and you feel like gambling,
but it ain't
gamble.
But see, from my perspective.
If you feel so sure about you or whatever you pitching or whatever you selling, that you don't feel like that shit is a gamble at all and you got that money, spend that money. Listen, I salute you. And, do what you got to do. Let me know how it go.
And the thing is, man, I could probably, I can't do it off the top of the head, but I could probably break down some numbers I spent on shit that, you know, didn't work or whatever. But to me, it was worth the risk and the gamble. And I never went into anything. This is important.
Go ahead.
I never went into anything that I took a chance to get into and came out with nothing. You know what I'm saying? You always going to come out with, oh, it didn't work there, but I heard that one line, and if I go over here and spin it like that, bam. I never went into nothing and came out with nothing. Everything I went into, I came out with something. It might not have been the money I wanted, but it was they gave me some key game that I needed.
Right.
And it made it worth it. I came to New York based off the simple fact that I knew one motherfucker.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker didn't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I did not catch that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to that person's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And that assistant gave me all the information that I needed to know, and she didn't even know she gave it to me.
Mm.
Just a simple shit. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you want to work, you need to call us early. Okay, early. I got something that's early.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, if you want to do that, you need to talk to this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in hearing that one line, I knew exactly who I needed to target, targeted them, and made the shit happen. So it wasn't what I shot. I lost the first bet,
mm-hmm.
but I won the bigger bet.
Yeah. You gambled on yourself. And you went, came up. Let's ask the listeners, have you ever paid to put yourself in a better business position? Let us know in the comments. I got one quick thing. I'm gonna have to roll out. I got one quick thing though. Chris Lambert just hit me. I've seen this circulating. It's a little conspiracy question. Do you think Hov got snubbed because he promoted Black Wealth?
I don't know. I'm not in the Illuminati, so I'm not sure the
your own non-Illuminati opinion.
I just felt like he didn't make an album that had dance records or a radio cut or any of the other shit that support the whole music system. You know what I'm saying? His whole shit was enclosed in his own environment. He's got his own streaming system.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
He not spreading the wealth. He go on tour with Live Nation, who was a part of Rock Nation. So
right.
All of that wealth is encapsulated in the one company almost. They spread it out just a little bit when the rest of the music industry supports, you know, a radio single and all that goes with that. And, you know what I mean? I don't know why
he put it up on other streaming stations.
No, he definitely put it on other streamers, but I'm saying he didn't have like a radio single that they work traditionally like a radio single.
Right.
Where you go make sure radio plays it and all what goes into that paying.
Yeah.
To get in those rooms and on them airwaves and shit like that, doing maybe not explicitly, but doing things for that station that make them help them make money, and then they in turn play your music. So he didn't play the game like that. So I'm not sure if that affected him, but it could look like that.
Yeah, I say no.
I mean,
it could look like that, obviously, but I don't think so. I think that, I mean, as dope as that album was, I think that album is still very niche. I still think, like, it ain't the most accessible album to most people. Like, a lot of young motherfuckers don't fuck with it unless somebody put them on to it. There's people that do, but it is a very, like, to your point, there's no big records on there. It's an album where you fuck with Jay, you fuck with Jay. And if you fuck with what he talking about, you all in. But it ain't no shit that you just throwing on.
Man, it did enough numbers more than some of these other records that was out there. It did enough streaming numbers and all that shit. But
it's not a bad album, but I mean, I'm not surprised it didn't win.
But just
and
like,
I don't think it has nothing to do with Black Wealth.
But just like, you know, did Solange win that Grammy for her album?
I think she did.
Yeah, so I mean, her album wasn't like radio single heavy and all that either.
I don't know.
But you know, as you once said on the show, oh, winning ass Jay, yeah, you got 21 Grammys. What the fuck he need with another one? You know what I'm saying? We gonna use that. Remember he said he gonna use us looking for the payback cold crusher shit? Right. We gonna use that motherfucker. Yeah, put him on the billboards. Make him come. We should get him to perform.
Exactly. Well, shit. Make that Retaliation album. We all looking forward to that.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, where you gonna be until this Retaliation album drop?
Damn, that might be a while.
Might be. Well, where you gonna be until next week?
I'm gonna be in the BK, man. I'm going to be on that Instagram, though, at Mr. Muhammad. I'm going to be, you know, on the Snap at Thorough TV. And, you know, you can catch me out here in these streets, man. You need something produced and shit. You got a budget, you know what I'm saying? You could pay to meet with me. You know what I'm saying? But I give you a product in return.
Word? <All right. laughs> Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to set up the Eventbrite, you know what I'm saying? Y'all can go hit that and check me out.
That's what's up. There you go. Shit, what am I doing? I'll be at Miss this Thursday uptown on 116th Street doing the show. Some funny people on the show, I think Janelle James, Mike Yard, Nate McIntosh, Amina Amani. It's her show, she's hosting. It should be a good look. I'm at Stand Up New York on Saturday. And a good Monday. So if you want to see me in these New York streets, that's going to be good. And I'll be on the road coming up soon. I got some dates on DamianLemon.com, but I'm going to be adding a few more dates, so keep an eye out for that. And shit, that's it. You know, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.